gospel as recorded by St. Matthew, chapter 9. And I want to read in your hearing verses 35 through 38 and talk about what I believe is a relevant subject for today. And I believe the Lord would have all of us consider where we are related to the message today. In Matthew 9, beginning with verse 35, it says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful that you've allowed us to be here this morning. We're thankful, O Lord, for the privilege of prayer, that you allow us to come before your presence and call on your holy and divine name. We give you thanks. We give you glory, O Lord. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would stand in my body. Use my mind and my mouth, O Lord, to communicate the message that you've given to me for this day. I pray, O Lord, that it will find a resting place in the hearts of those who truly know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And thereby, O Lord, they will be moved to act through the power of your word to do your bidding. And if any are not saved, O God, I pray that you would call them unto yourself. Bless the word of God. Talk today from the thought, the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. And compassion is defined as sympathetic pity, concern for the suffering, or misfortunes of others. That we have a feeling within our hearts. Compassion motivates people, amen, to move out of their way to help people physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally. We experience some, in a sense, the same pain that they are. See, compassion involves feeling for others, and is a precursor to empathy. The feeling as another, amen, has the capacity to cause us to perform acts that are centered in us being better people, being better persons, amen. And a person who calls himself a Christian and lacks compassion is a contradiction in terms. Or you might say an oxymoron. Because what they call themselves isn't what they are. And let me say this before I start down this trek. I denounce all looting, rioting, destruction of public property, attacks on police in any form, because all of those things are wrong. There's a radical difference between picketing and rioting. Amen. But when I look at so many who call themselves Christians, or in the modern day term that appeals to so many people call themselves evangelicals today, especially those in high positions of leadership nationally, I can't connect what they call themselves with what they're doing. So many have allowed party to override their faith. Let me ask you a question. Where was your compassion when children were being separated from their parents at the border? Why are you so silent now? Amen. When almost 200,000 Americans have died of COVID-19. And the president continues to lie to the nation. Talking about he didn't want us to panic. And somebody the other day had the nerve to call him the father of our nation. Let me tell you what a real father does. If their child is in the presence of pending danger, they warn them. They don't lie and say, I don't want to panic them, but one of my children was in the path of a car, I'm not going to let the car run over them and not warn them because I don't want them to panic. Or if a dog or a snake is close by, I'm not going to sit idly by, talking about I don't want to scare them to death, I don't want to panic them, and let the snake bite them. Self or anybody else consider you to be a father to this? Well, for some of my conservative brothers and sisters, you need to understand that pro-life extends beyond the womb. Matter of fact, and that's according to Scripture. Matter of fact, Jesus says that hate is tantamount to murder. And how can you say you know God who is love and have hate in your heart for your brothers and sisters because they're not your color? Shot down in the street like animals. Where is the compassion? Christians and conservatives and evangelicals? I think destruction of public property. I denounce acts on police in any because it's wrong. It is wrong. And I could go on with many other examples of what I perceive to be the absence of compassion. But I really want to paint a picture of what the compassion of Christ looks like. So let's dig in. My first point is that compassion is undefiled. In the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verse 41, it says, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and touched him. And said to him, I'm willing, be cleansed. Compassion means sorrow or pity that is excited by the distress or misfortune of another person. Jesus had true compassion. He was never selfish He was never resentful towards a person who needed his help. When the leper approached him, imploring him and kneeling down before him and saying, if you are willing, I believe in my heart, I know you have the power to heal me, but if you are willing, and Jesus just simply said, be cleansed. And the leper was recovered. He told him to go and show himself to the priest and to offer a sacrifice. He was not bitter. He was not resentful towards healing and helping this leper. And you and I, our motives must be pure as well. We must care for others. We have to aid them, not looking for anything in return. Our compassion should never be defiled with resentment. My second point, compassion is understanding. In Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them. This is Jesus. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. We gain understanding through seeing those in need through their eyes. When we see it through the eyes of a person, are persons who are sick, suffering from loneliness, grieving because they are bereaved. You know, we see it when we walk a mile or two in the shoes, amen, of a person who is less fortunate than we are. See, when you've been sick, I mean, sure enough, sick. Amen. When you really, really been sick, you develop a much deeper compassion for those who are sick. When you've lost a close friend or a loved one, I mean a father or a mother, a sister, a brother, a child, your compassion level grows because of your personal experience. When you lose that person who is dear to you, your heart grieves just like that other individual. And it should cause us to demonstrate compassion at a much higher level. Jesus understood because he had experienced sorrow. He understood because he had experienced loneliness. He understood because he had experienced suffering. He understood because he had experienced death. And we should understand as well. When we empathize with others, we can love with compassion. Amen. We can love with compassion like Jesus did in Matthew 14. Because before he fed the multitude, the scripture tells us that he healed all the sick people who were in the crowd that day. And then he fed them. Because they were hungry, they were scattered like sheep not having a shepherd. And you and I need to demonstrate the compassion of Christ when we see people who are in need. Amen. We need to demonstrate the compassion of Christ because the compassion of Christ has understanding. See, you need to understand that the Divine Provision Food Pantry was birthed at Christian Charity because we understood that people have needs greater than our own. Compassion is understanding. And then compassion is not discouraged. Turn over to 1 Peter 3:8, and it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. See, compassion is not discouraged when things get tough. Compassion is not discouraged because of the difficulty or the situation or circumstances in which we have to serve or meet the needs of others. When you read the account of the Good Samaritan in Luke 15, the Samaritan had compassion. He got involved in helping a person who had been robbed, beaten, and left for dead. He didn't cross over to the other side. He didn't look the other way. But his compassion caused him to act. And see, compassion calls for courage in some situations. But I understand it's hard sometimes to serve or help somebody who's done you wrong. I know it's hard sometimes to serve or treat somebody right who has mistreated you. And you look at this situation, the Jews had a natural disdain or dislike for the Samaritans. They mistreated them because of their blended culture. And that Samaritan could have went by, he could have spit on him, he could have kicked him, he could have did anything he wanted to do, being vindictive. But he didn't do that. He took care of him. He bound up his wounds. He carried him to a hotel. He put him up. Amen. Told the innkeeper, whatever is owed, I'll pay you when I come back this way. But in verse 9 of 1 Peter 3, it says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Christians, brothers and sisters who know Jesus Christ, God has not called us to revenge. He has not called us to revile. He's not called us to get even. But he has called us to a time to serve that we might receive a blessing. Amen. And there's a blessing in compassion for those who are compassionate. See, compassion doesn't cave in to discouragement. It does not cave in to hatred. It doesn't cave in to being vindictive. Compassion is modeled wherever the presence of Jesus Christ is in the hearts of men and women. And then as I head for a close, compassion is rewarded. In Luke 15, 22-24. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. When you read those first three verses, it sounds or it appears that compassion only benefits the prodigal son. And y'all know the story, how he took his father's living, his inheritance, before his father was dead, and went into a far country and wasted it with prodigal living. And then, wouldn't nobody feed him down there, but gave him a job feeding hogs, which was an insult to a Jew. But when he came to his senses, he said, the servants in my father's house have bread and bread to spare. And I'm going to go back and tell my father that I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. Just make me one of his hired servants. But see, compassion, true compassion, the compassion of Christ won't force you to be subservient. It will raise you up to a level that glorifies God. It'll raise you up to a level that will allow you to have some dignity. It'll raise you up to a level where you know that you are a child of God. The Father said, bring me a robe. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Because I want him to know that he's been restored to sonship in my house. And you see, that's what compassion does. Compassion restores us to where we were previous to our failure. But I want you to understand the reward was not just for the son. But the father was rewarded as well, because verse 24 says, but this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And then they began to be merry. Now see, the father was rewarded because that son who was dead in his eyes was now alive. That son who previously was lost was now found. Amen. And see, there is a reward for all who are compassionate in their faith and in their actions. Oh, if you don't get it down here, don't worry about it, because it will be there for you in glory when you get there. Compassion comes from God, and compassion never fails, because God never fails. See, the Lord is full of compassion, and his mercies endure to all generations. Through our growth in Christ's likeness, we are filled, children of God, with the compassion of Christ. See, compassion is a very, very powerful thing. And as I want to close, but I want you to understand that there is a reward in being compassionate. There's an old story, and I've told it before, and I just want to tell it again right quick as I close the message for today. There was an Indian tribe, and they had a storehouse for the food for the tribe. And somebody was sneaking in at night and stealing the food. And the chief said, if we catch them, they're going to receive 20 lashes. Just so happened over the course of time that they finally caught the thief who was stealing from the tribal goods. And they bought this frail little old lady before the king, before the chief of that tribe. And he looked and saw that it was his mother who had been stealing from the tribe. And he said, I can't take back my word. Go ahead and tie her to the post. 20 lashes is the crime for stealing from the pantry. They tied her to the post and they uncovered her back. Then the one who had the whip in his hand, when he was about to administer the punishment, the chief said, "Wait a minute." Stepped down from where he was standing and walked over behind his mother. Took off his shirt and leaned across her back and told him, "Now proceed." Oh, I want you to know that's the kind of compassion that Christ showed to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for our sins. But see, while he was on the cross, he was demonstrating compassion. I saw where he looked down and he said, "John, behold your mother, and woman, behold your son." And the Bible tells us that John took Mary home and cared for her. Oh, he wasn't done demonstrating compassion before he gave up the ghost. Because I heard him when he cried and said, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they're doing." Yeah, but that wasn't the end of it, even right there. Because there was a thief hanging on his side that said, "Father, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Oh my God. Then he died out there about the ninth hour. He gave up his ghost. No man could take his life, but he laid it down in order to save you and me. Oh yeah. Laid there all night Friday night and all night Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And all of us who profess to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and lack compassion, we need to check our relationship. Because to be a Christian, to be an evangelical, you must demonstrate the compassion of Christ. Oh, you may not like the color of my skin. You may not like me living close to you. But if you're a child of God, and I am a child of God, there ought to be some harmony. There ought to be our kindred spirits ought to meet. And we ought to be able to have fellowship even though I'm black and you're white. We ought to be able to come together as members of the body of Christ and worship and give God glory, and then demonstrate for those who are outside of the body of Christ what it looks like to be a part of God's family. I pray that those that are looking on Facebook, those who look later, those who look on the Gospel America Network, will truly embrace the command. I started to say challenge. The command of Christ to love and show compassion like Jesus did. It's important. It'll transform our nation. I don't agree with a lot of things the president does, but I pray for him every day. First, for his salvation, and then two, for his heart to be connected to God. We need people in leadership who not only say they know God, but who obey the word of God, who obey the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God keep you, is my prayer. If you are listening in, if you are looking today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you bow and to repeat the words, these words after me, that you might be saved for all eternity. Father God, I come to you today confessing that I have sinned and I have fallen short of your glory. I need a Savior, and I believe your word that Christ came and that he died and rose again to save sinners. I place my faith in his finished work on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Rule and reign in my heart, that my life will give you glory. I know it's done, because your word says that we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, and I do today, that we will be saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Praise God.